Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show. I am your host, Miranda Morales, and I just flew in and my arms are tired.
You earned that. You earned that entire buzzer.
Yes, I earned that buzzer.
Both of them.
I mean, how can you not? How can I not? How
you could easily not do that. You could very easily not do that joke, and everything would have been fine.
Show would have been great. I haven't, you know, I'll retire it. One and done. One and done. For those of you who may not know, my name is Miranda Morales. I am a professional wrestling ring announcer here in Southern Arizona. This is the Hashtag Miranda Show, my podcast where I talk about pro wrestling news, opinions, hashtag facts, kind of facts, not really. But I am the queen of soft style. And you may wonder, what does that mean? Is that appropriate for this podcast? Can my kids listen to it? Probably not. But what I mean by the queen of soft style is that you can purchase your very own soft style shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. And you, I was going to wait for the, don't worry about it.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Better.
Yes. And you may be wondering as well, what is the chair shot? Thechairshot.com is your best source.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Can I say it?
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Yes. Thechairshot.com, your source for pro wrestling news, analysis, and opinions. The Hashtag Miranda Show is also part of the Chairshot Radio Network, where you can listen to a variety of wrestling podcasts. There's one, two even, for every day of the week. If you cannot get enough of wrestling podcasts, listen to the Chairshot Radio Network.
And the Chairshot Radio Network is part of what?
Thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
I got problems.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we might as well bring you in. I do this show with my co-host, the one, the only, the Greg DeMarco.
Mandy.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Hi, I'm here. I don't know if anybody knew that. I'm here. Yes. I'm active. I'm living. I'm playing sound bites. That's
Greg's thing. He loves sound bites. You guys know how to party. I mean, Greg does have his own show, the Greg DeMarco Show, which you can catch on the Chairshot Radio Network. But you'll also find out that he's on a lot of shows.
Always use your head.
You're just like going into all these shows. You have all these shows now.
I know. Like, I feel bad. I didn't even promote the new show during our show. I was too busy yelling about things.
That's also true. We just finished recording the Greg DeMarco Show and with Patrick O'Dowd. Great topic this week regarding this new love triangle with Rusev, Lana, and Bobby Lashley. Also talking a little bit about Hell in a Cell. But this week for my show, I mean, I actually have content.
Yeah.
First off, big thing. Big thing for me to have content of my own because I will primarily piggyback off of the Greg DeMarco Show, go into random wrestling topics. I mean, if you were just sitting around talking pro wrestling with your friends, this would be the podcast that would be recorded, which is essentially what we do every Tuesday night. But I have just recently returned from some travels to Atlanta, Georgia, all the way from Arizona. So a long trek, but one that was a fantastic time there. And I did a little bit of wrestling exploring while I was there. I showed Greg some pictures and some insight earlier, but I want to share with all of you what it's like to take a Southern Arizona girl and take her to Atlanta, Georgia. So I traveled there for my cousin's wedding. So I was there on hashtag, you know, or quotations business, but family business, which, you know, anytime you have a family gathering, I mean, it can get tricky. People can fight, they can argue, you can realize why you haven't seen that family in so long.
Why you don't want to.
But yes, but you know what? Very fortunately, this was a great family trip. I was able to see family that I hadn't seen in quite a while. So that was a great aspect of this trip. But before I left, I planned carved some time out to go to the DDP Yoga Performance Center Studio. That's not the full title. I think it's just called the DDP Performance Center in Smyrna, Georgia.
Smyrna,
Georgia.
Something you put on a pita.
It's probably about 30 minutes outside of Atlanta, small, nice little community. But this was something that was pretty important to me because I've been practicing DDP yoga since May. And it's been an experience. It's a fun activity. It's a cool method of yoga. For those of you who aren't familiar with it, I definitely recommend checking it out. It's DDP's interpretation of yoga. And what I mean by that is that he teaches yoga. He practices yoga. He has been for over 10 years now. And he's done lots of interviews where he's talked about his experience with yoga, how it helped him heal his back, how it helped him get back into ring shape. And you know, also being a man, being a pro wrestler, the idea of practicing yoga is pretty foreign, pretty odd. When a lot of wrestlers do a lot of weightlifting and cardio, and you think about all the traditional forms of exercising, for him, yoga has done wonders. And even seeing all the testimonies out there of other wrestlers, I mean, it was really heavily featured in the resurrection of Jake the Snake Roberts and in his documentary. Chris Jericho has been open about using it. MJF, you know, lots of wrestlers. Sheamus has included it in his YouTube series. Lots of wrestlers have use DDP yoga, have practiced it. But as far as how to describe it, it is yoga with a little bit more intensity. And also all the names are different. You think about all the names you may hear about different yoga poses. It actually, he started DDP yoga as Yoga for Regular Guys was actually the branding behind it originally. And what he did is that he changed the names of a lot of the moves to be a little bit more practical, a little bit more sensible, so that instead of, you know, doing child's pose where you're like, what the hell is that? You're doing safety zone and, you know, warrior one position. He, you know, modified that to be road warrior one. And so anytime you go into any warrior position, road warrior one or any of those, you gotta say it. Ooh, what a rush. And it's fun to say that when you're practicing yoga. It's a lot of fun. I got to say that during my yoga session last week. But anyways, you know, really, really cool program, something that I've enjoyed doing the past few months. And so he has a yoga center studio, the DDP Performance Center in Smyrna, Georgia. So I took the opportunity to go do a session there Thursday morning of last week. Garrett is one of the instructors. I have the app, which is how I utilize the program, but a lot of people have the DVDs and do other things. Just cool experience overall. And it's really awesome just to one, do something that's active. And for those of you who may follow me on social media, if you don't, I'm on Instagram, the hashtag Miranda. I tagged Greg DeMarco here. He is my accountability buddy. How did you phrase it last week?
Accountability buddy.
Accountability buddy.
That's a thing.
Where we, you know, help motivate each other, help just, you know, congratulate each other on kind of our fitness goals and things like that. So he knew for a while, pretty much ever since I knew I was doing this, the fact to go to the Performance Center and do a yoga session there was definitely on my list.
Which it should be. I mean, I would have done the same thing. I think it's awesome. Yeah, a little jealous because I have the DVDs. That's how far back I had them for a long time, too. DDP's actually been doing it since, like, before he won a world title in WCW. Dude's been doing this stuff for, like, over 20 years. It's crazy. It's become a business for him. It's become everything. I think it's great, and I think it's awesome that you got to go there in beautiful Smyrna.
Smyrna, Georgia.
Smyrna.
There's some funny names out there in Georgia.
I mean, there's funny names here. Like, to someone in Georgia, they'd be like, Yuma. Yuma sounds funny. Like, it's you know.
That is true. Did you know there is a Dudleyville, Arizona?
I did not know that. That's pretty funny.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's a Dudleyville, Arizona. I've only seen it on the map. I don't think I've ever crossed through it, but.
Arizona was one of the potential locations for Parts Unknown as well, but. I can't remember. I think Arkansas won. I don't know.
That's okay. I used to live in New Mexico. Used to drive through Truth or Consequences all the time.
It's a real place.
It's a real place. Truth or Consequences. There's nothing in it.
I wonder if Mick Foley's ever actually been to Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. He probably would have at some point.
You would think if he's done any travels in New Mexico and you take it from Albuquerque, if you're going down south to El Paso or anywhere in Texas or even, you know, to Arizona. So if he's done any of those routes, we'll see. Well, I will ask him, actually, because good segue, Greg. You're so smart.
That's why I did it.
Yes. This weekend, we actually have a three-day event or three separate events hosted by Cactus League Wrestling here in Arizona. Mick Foley will be one of the guests and at Cactus League on Saturday and Sunday. This Saturday, we are going to be in Tempe, Arizona at Sun Studios. Mick Foley will be there. Believe Jerry the King Lawler will also be there. He was advertised for that, but for sure
that's next weekend. That's not this weekend, but next weekend.
Next weekend, correct?
The 12th.
Yes, that is my bad.
It's okay.
I'm still recovering from this time zone.
Jet lag.
Next weekend, we're looking at. This is. October 12th in Phoenix, Arizona, or technically Tempe. People get sensitive when, you know, you don't give the right location in Phoenix, apparently. But in Tempe, Arizona, Cactus League Wrestling will be hosting a show there. The next day, we will be back here in Tucson for a Sunday show. Mick Foley will also be there. And then that Friday, the 11th, so jumping a few days ahead, we will have our bar show at The Rock. It will be my first bar show, hosting a bar show. So anything goes, no F's given. So 3 days back to back to back pro wrestling in Arizona. And Mick Foley will also have a meet and greet. So if you are interested in doing a meet and greet in either Phoenix or Tucson, tickets are still available. You can go to CactusLeagueWrestling.net or follow Cactus League Wrestling on social media for more information. Now, that quick plug is out of the way. butchered that a little bit.
That's good.
Wanted to get to the meat and potatoes of my trip. And actually, it's not something that happened during the trip as far as the middle of it. It actually just happened recently as of last night. So to backtrack, a few days earlier, I would say this was Saturday, actually a few hours before my cousin's wedding, I had researched and found out that NWA was going to be doing a television taping in Atlanta. They're utilizing the Georgia Public Broadcasting venue over there. They were going to be taping two back-to-back shows on Monday and Tuesday for their upcoming, their new TV, quote-unquote TV show, and I'll explain a little bit of that later. During the same time I was going to be there, I was flying out on Tuesday. The taping was on Monday. I was nearby, so I decided to go for it, purchased tickets, and decided to go to my very first NWA show. Now, this is a big deal to me because I grew up watching wrestling in the 90s, so I don't have a lot of context or experience with wrestling before then, as far as a little bit in the 80s, but honestly, my familiarity has been more with WWE, and everything else I know before then is primarily YouTube. But I also know the importance and the impact of the NWA, of its significance in pro wrestling history. I've been trying to learn and read more about it just to understand more of the context and the landscape of wrestling, especially in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, everything that really built up to the 90s, because it's good to know where you've been. But again, history can be doomed to repeat itself. And I think that there's only so much history that you can learn from the 90s and the 2000s that you got to go further back to really understand more about it. Greg, what's your kind of experience or exposure to the NWA?
Well, it's funny because I started watching WWF first and discovered that shortly before the first WrestleMania. So that's why it's so easy for me to know how long I've been a wrestling fan. Because when WrestleMania hits, it's like, oh, that's another year. But I was flipping through the channels and discovered the NWA on TBS one Saturday night and was just like, what is this? And watched it, and it was totally different. It was a little more violent, obviously more Southern. I lived in New York at the time because that's where I was born. It was just different, and I was drawn to it, and I didn't know who Ric Flair was, didn't know who the Four Horsemen was, but they were usually doing promos there. They really wrestled. At least Flair, Arn, and Tully. And at that point, only Anderson was there, and it was just totally different, and started watching that. Shortly after that is when I discovered wrestling magazines, where then it was just like, oh my goodness, there's all this. That's where I first learned about Memphis, and because Memphis got a lot of coverage in the wrestling magazines back then, so I learned a lot that way, and I think the NWA was just like, I didn't know there was anything other than WWF, and then there was, and then of course there was this whole new world, and now with the magic of the WWE Network, we have all of it at our disposal. I went, the first ever NWA show I went to was in Virginia, after I moved to Virginia, at the Richmond Coliseum, which is a mainstay location for the NWA and for Jim Crockett Promotions. I saw War Games live at an NWA show at the Richmond Coliseum. I don't remember who, it was Four Horsemen and Dusty, I think it was Dusty, Sting, I think Nikita was a babyface on that team, and either Luger or Windham. One of them was a horseman, one of them was a babyface at that time, and then there was JJ. I think the Road Warriors involved because Paul Ellering was in it too, so yeah, I don't know exactly who was in it, but I can look it up. But I saw War Games. I also saw a scaffold match on that same show. It was really weird. It was a Great American Bash show. I saw the Midnight Express and the Fantastics in a scaffold match. Yeah, it's crazy the matches that you see. So yeah, I've seen War Games live. I saw some other shows. I've been a couple Nitros, but back at the NWA era, I saw War Games live, and that was, you know, just a different kind of card, different kind of wrestling, different kind of era, definitely more based in realism, quote unquote blood and guts, you know, it's very much the Andersons, Rock and Roll Express, like so many things that we see now were influenced by it. and especially in NXT, you could definitely see the influence of Dusty and how it impacted Triple H and what they do now. So, I mean, Undisputed Era, like, that's totally rooted in the Four Horsemen, especially right now. So, it's a big part of me as a fan and just wrestling in general.
And also, being a West Coast kid, I feel like I was pretty disconnected with the NWA just because of they were more centrally located in the South and the Midwest, and even a little bit up more north. So I really don't have a lot of context behind it. But I know, you know, the significance and the importance that it has in wrestling history. But, you know, I just didn't know. I really didn't. And I'm a little bit more on the millennial side of the fan base. So again, I grew up in the Attitude Era. So that's really my point of context. But even, you know, now even younger fans who really don't have any clue about the NWA because, you know, the existence just has been kind of up and down. I think it's really important to really, you know, learn more about other wrestling promotions and the history of wrestling. But I also feel, too, that it's gotten lost in this big uprising of wrestling now, where you have WWE, you have NXT, you have AEW, you've had now so Impact. NWA has been this engine that's been trying to build up on the momentum of these other promotions, but it's been hard. They haven't had consistent television taping since what, 70s, 80s? So
90s, but yeah,
early 90s. 90, yeah. So, you know,
92, 93 is when it became WCW. So before then, it was Jim Crockett Promotions, which was the main hub. The NWA was a true territory system, and they had different territories in Mid-Atlantic Territory with Jim Crockett Promotions. That's where most of the money was for the NWA, and that's where most of the transactions took place, and that's where Flair was based out of, and the Andersons, and the Horsemen, and the Midnight Express, and all of that really, and Dusty, all of that was based out of Jim Crockett Promotions in the Carolinas. So, yeah, but that's... It was the true territory system until Ted Turner bought it and eventually became WCW, and the rest is, as they say, is history.
It's history. So when I got the chance to purchase these tickets, I knew I had to go. I had to, because to be honest, I don't know if I was ever going to get another chance to do it. Possibly, but you know, when you're in the right place at the right time, you got to just take advantage of the opportunity. So with that, I went to the TV taping. What I wanted to do with this conversation, or at least just talk, you know, talking through, you know, what I saw, I've made a point just personally to not share any spoilers, even though you can find them online. That is your discretion. But I also want to give my opinions and my perceptions and let everyone have their own chance to decide later on as you view it, you know, what you view, what your opinions are of this product. So I feel like by going into spoilers, I may end up revealing too much of my either own opinion or, and granted, I mean, this is my podcast, so it's whatever I decide. But I really want people to have some element of surprise, because there was definitely some surprises that happened during the tapings yesterday. They're still doing tapings today. So, you know, this will be as spoiler free as I can go through, unless I let something slip, and that's just going to be on accident. But if you're really interested in spoilers, just know that you can go online. Other people have posted them already. But again, another little bit of a step back. So yesterday morning, Billy Corgan and Dave Lagana, they had a press conference. NWA had a press conference in Atlanta to announce some details about their show. So I really wanted to read a little bit of their press release that they have, and get a little bit of your thoughts as far as what NWA has decided to do as far as with this show. So the National Wrestling Alliance is proud to announce NWA Power, coming to you worldwide every Tuesday at 6:05 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, starting on October 8th. So we now have a Tuesday night wrestling show to fill the gap left by SmackDown.
Well, Impact's going to be on Tuesdays as well. So there's going to be wrestling every day. Hours every day.
That's true. I forgot that Impact, man.
Impact. I just feel bad for Impact Wrestling. Like even when they get this new time slot, everybody still forgets about Impact Wrestling.
Aw, Puddin.
The big thing about what they announced with their show NWA Power is that this is going to be streamed, or it's going to be available live online through Facebook and YouTube. And they really highlighted that there's no restrictions, no paywalls, just free wrestling on Facebook and YouTube. And if you can't watch the live premiere, the show will be available on demand via those two same platforms. Plus, it's going to be made available on Fight TV every Saturday night. We've talked about this before as far as, you know, the barriers to that some people may have as far as what they can have access to on TV. We mentioned, you just mentioned Impact earlier, how they've flipped and flopped to different platforms just because of the challenges they've had on being on a channel, but also being on a channel that has accessibility. They have been on Twitch, but not everybody has that. Now they're moving on to Access, which should have more of a wider fan base, more accessibility base than before. But we've also talked about even just with the AEW and some of the fan feedback regarding Bleacher Report and streaming, you know, their pay-per-views on there, that it's free, but some people don't want to have the hassle of, you know, going on and well, at least those that were free. So Fyter Fest being free, but Double or Nothing and some of the other pay-per-views were paid, but having to go through, you know, Bleacher Report and pay through that, for some fans, that was an inconvenience. One thing that NWA really seemed to tout in this press release was that they're trying to make the accessibility as easy as possible. However, they're not going to be on TV. I already see Greg shaking his head so much. So just go ahead. Just go ahead and vent, Greg.
It's not venting, but it's like, okay, obviously you're going to spin something as good as you can. Not you, but the NWA. They tried to be on TV. They just didn't get on TV. And because there's a saturation point and we're kind of there. Some of the things that have struck me as funny was like 6:05, because that's what time the NWA was on TBS back in the days. So everything on TBS for some reason started 5 minutes late. Probably should have started 2 minutes early during the credits of other shows on other networks when people start changing channels, but that's a whole other thing. And the Saturday night on Fight, well, Saturday night was when it was on TBS originally, the studio show. So Tuesday is a great time. Like, they're all good things. I don't know how many people are going to watch it through these medium. I mean, Twitch, Impact on Twitch, I think the best it ever got was like 10 or 12,000 views. I don't know. And I just, we're just going to hit this weird saturation point where people are going to be like, do I really want to watch this? They are making it accessible, which I think is smart. I think they're definitely behind the eight ball a little bit with it. I want them to succeed, but there's just so much wrestling, and it's just such a tough time for it. But yeah, and we haven't really talked about like the studio aspect of the show and all that, so I don't want to jump into that just yet. But they're making it as accessible as possible. I'm sure it's not what they wanted, but if you want to see it, you can definitely see it.
Yes, absolutely. And it could be a way to, you know, help get some recognition so that they do eventually find a TV deal. But again, I also like how easy it is for any fan to be able to go on YouTube, to go on Facebook. Hopefully that will help with the viewership, that there isn't any restrictions, but it also could be a thing where you can come up with any excuse and you can get some, you can be delivered something to you on, you know, on a silver platter. And you still may say, well, it's not enough. So
yeah, people want it.
One element of this that
people want it so convenient. Like that's why people wanted Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks to go to WWE. They didn't want to have to watch another product to see them. That's literally one of the many things that's working against AEW. Like people just would wish all their favorite stuff was in WWE, they'd be happy. It's not possible, but that's what people, given the preference, I bet that's what everybody would want. Just take their favorite stuff, put it in WWE.
So you did allude to something a little bit earlier about the set. So one of the things I did was I took a few pictures of the set. I sent them to Greg because it is very much the same setup that they've had for many years. You had, as far as looking at it directly, we had rows of seats on there. As far as attendance, I imagine it was probably, you know, a little over 100 people, somewhat of a small turnout, but it was also a Monday night. So, you know,
it's it was limited. Kind of stuff on TV Monday nights.
Yeah, there's
for wrestling fans to watch for free. TV.
I also had to jump back and forth between watching NWA and looking at some of the results on Raw. And funny fact that Raw was in Phoenix, Arizona, and yes. I was not there, or else I would be at Raw. I would have been at Raw.
What's wrong?
I had to fill in the void with something else.
Had you been at Raw, I might have been at Raw, but I wasn't at Raw, and I was in Phoenix, Arizona. So that's my dedication to the fitness goals we were talking about earlier. Literally during Raw, Greg was working out.
It was, yes. Raw's DVR for Greg, so he wasn't even watching Raw. He was taking care of his fitness goals.
I was.
But sitting in there, there was just this feeling of nostalgia. To the far left, you had the broadcast booth with Jim Cornette and Joe Galli, who some of you may have seen before from Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, Championship Wrestling from Arizona. But those are the team in the broadcast booth. You had the NWA logo with the great state of Georgia behind it. Then you had the ring in the center with the NWA letters with this kind of pale blue ring apron around, you know, blue turnbuckles, very, very much like as if it just, you copied and pasted from the 1970s. And then towards the far right is where you had your interview area. You had your podium. You had this kind of designated walling area with the logo of Power and just that setup that, I mean, yeah, very, very nostalgic to the NWA of old. And as someone who's only seen it in videos, it was a cool experience just to be able to see that setup, that layout, because as a fan, you probably don't see all of that, how close and how interconnected it all is. So seeing it from that perspective, one, of course, you know, made it real small and real homey, but also how do you utilize that space? And so that will be something that I'm very interested in seeing how that looks in post, as far as can you tell it looks that way, or how is that space utilized? Greg immediately provided me with his thoughts, and I'll let Greg, you know, share those with all of you.
It looked old. Like, it looked like when you watch, like, if they took the set of a sitcom and, like, museumized it, and that's kind of, like, what I felt like I was looking at. It was a new spin, but it was old. Here's my thing about that really just came to mind now. We criticize fans for yearning for the Attitude Era. Shouldn't we criticize the NWA for yearning for 1987? Like, it's the same thing to me. Like, literally, they're literally just trying to recreate 1987. Like, and I said the same thing to you. I kind of feel like they need to grow up a little bit. Like, and I'm not trying to feel that way. It's just a feeling I can't shake. And I want to give it a chance first. I want to watch it next Tuesday and see how it looks and all of that. But it's, we look at, those of us who watched the NWA on the Superstation back in the day, we look at it through, like many people look at the Attitude Era, through rose-colored glasses. If you don't nail it perfectly, the comparison, it's not the same, is going to be automatic, and it's a real tough position to put yourself in as a company. And it's funny because it's the exact same setup that Dave Marquez uses for Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. All the fans on one side and just shot in that way. And he's doing a lot of the production for them anyway. I just, I don't know. I just feel like it's too old. I'm still going to watch it. I'm still going to go into it with a clean slate and see how I like it. But it's definitely, I feel like they're putting themselves behind the eight ball a little bit because of Billy Corgan's fascination with old town, small town America that he obviously has if you watch any of the old NWA videos that they put out last year.
I don't know. I think there's a argument for everything that's old is new again. And we see that a lot, even just in entertainment, remakes and reboots and, you know, all these things that are being redone. And so I'm not surprised that the NWA is doing that because the NWA is good at it. The NWA has the history, has the culture, whereas, you know, Raw 25 tried to replicate that with the Hammerstein Ballroom and it looks super cheesy, whereas yeah. I saw that with the NWA set and I thought that was kind of cool. Also, we live in a time where we are in a world of microbrews and startups and niches, and I also think now that that translates into the wrestling world where you can have your niche wrestling organization, one that really calls to yesteryear or one that just, you know, allows you to reminisce a little bit. Even just talking about the commentary team, you know, you have someone modern in Joe Galli, but then you have Jim Cornette, which people have grown up on. And so I think that there's a lot of things, big and little, that the NWA is doing to recall and bring back that older fan base. And maybe that's their target at first. I mean, what do they have left to lose, really? They're going to be in an open streaming environment with Facebook and YouTube. So I think there is going to be a fan base that did watch it in the 80s and the 70s and the 90s. And they're going to look at that set and think, wow, that's the same set that I looked at or I watched earlier. Maybe a younger fan base, again, more of us millennials are a little bit more, you know, critical. But I think a fan from maybe the 70s will look at that and say, wow, that's really cool. So, I mean, I could see what they're doing and why. And again, going back to the time slot, you know, all those little nuances, I think it's going to get older fans excited. And hopefully then maybe that brings in a new fan base. Who knows? You mentioned Billy Corgan. So he came out at the beginning of the before they started filming, thanking everyone for coming. And he talked about, you know, he wanted fans to be vocal. He wanted fans to express their opinions. He wanted them they weren't going to force, you know, any, you know, applause signs or anything for wrestlers. They just wanted the audience's natural reaction and they wanted the audience to be a part of the process. And I found that a little refreshing because as a wrestling fan who's primarily, you know, based around WWE, there's this feeling that our opinions aren't heard, that the machine runs it, that Vince runs it, that the money runs it. And to have someone come out and, you know, want the fans to just have an honest reaction was a cool aspect of it. And he came in and out kind of intermittently, you know, just to talk with the fans and see how they were doing. But, you know, they didn't necessarily force any, you know, cheering or booing. And I'm interested in your thought about that, Greg, because you've also, you know, been on that promoter side about, you know, who's a heel, who's a face. And even then, you're not always been the biggest fan of those terms, but letting the fans decide and letting the fans have a bigger role in how a company decides to book. What are your thoughts on that? And is that a good direction for the NWA to go in?
It's funny because WWE doesn't hold up any applause signs. AEW's not holding, like, the whole, we're not going to tell you when to cheer, when to boo. Like, no one does that. The fans do what the fans want to do regardless. So I don't think that's a big thing there. But I think that it's, you know, the good versus evil. I want to do a whole show on good versus evil anyway, because I think it's often misunderstood in what it means to have a stake in a show and a stake in a match. As a promoter, you just want people to react. You just want people to be engaged regardless. You just want a good crowd because the performers perform better. Everyone feels better. The people go home happy. They want to come back. Like, it's all about just the people being part of it. I don't care about the fans acting how they're supposed to act or anything like that. I don't think that no one does that, in my opinion. Like, the people talk about it, and there's a lot of, you know, insider bullshit news with a Z, but I really don't think, like, if you pay attention to things that Triple H was the guy years ago, when someone asked about turning Roman Reigns heel, Triple H was like, he's already there, and he was the biggest babyface in the company. So it's I feel like that's something that people project onto wrestling and project onto WWE that isn't really accurate.
It's a good point, because you're right. You don't see those. There's no applause signs. There's no one dictating who you should and should not like. Some of that is projected based off of, you know, what stories are out there, what storylines are happening, and also, you know, whose merch is out there. Lots of different factors. But, you know, it is a kudos to NWA as far as kind of vocalizing that to their fan base, even if it was just in that live studio audience. And there was definitely some funny moments throughout the taping regarding some fan chants and some things that they seemed to like, that the fans' reactions. So I'm going to, as much as I did decide to keep this spoiler free, I'm just going to throw out a few little tidbits out there that hopefully keeps your interest. But you know, Tim Storm did a promo where he was before his match with Nick Aldis. It was an advertised match as far as Nick Aldis versus Tim Storm for the NWA's World Heavyweight Championship. And in his promo, Tim mentioned his mama, 94-year-old mama, and the fans started to chant Mama Storm, and that was a constant chant throughout the night. And apparently they loved it so much that they, you know, want to do more with it. Who knows? But, you know, Mama Storm, God bless her, 94 years old, worrying about her son wrestling. I mean, and it goes to the Southern feeling. I don't know. I just got that sense throughout the night. It was a kind of a cool thing to watch and see. But yes, Mama Storm. I would buy a Mama Storm shirt. I mean, let her. Hopefully, it's not like a Judy Bagwell on a pole match. I'm pretty sure they're not going to go in that direction, or in a forklift.
I hope not,
because she's 94 years old. She wouldn't be able to take it.
Let's not do that to Mama Storm. Mama Storm would probably want to do it, though. Mama Storm's probably all about it, because she's 94. And she's,
oh, yeah, Mama Storm, she would just be some sassy lady, like, ready. Like, yeah, I'd be for it. I hope I see Mama Storm on TV, because I'd dig it.
But is she anywhere close to Mama Sparks? I mean, come on. There is no mama like Mama Sparks.
Man, like, Mama Sparks is like...
And of course, you if know, you don't know, we're talking
well
about...
Well known throughout the wrestling community in Arizona.
EJ Sparks is a wrestler here in Arizona. He's out of Tucson, wrestles a lot in Phoenix as well. And when his mama's at a show, man, Mama Sparks is...
Have you seen her? She will pull. I've seen her pull a chair ready to defend herself.
Oh, I have too. I've, on my own shows, I saw it like... Yeah, well, I've seen it. I've kind of put things in position to hope it would happen. So, yeah. And I'll do it again.
No, I mean, yeah, don't mess with someone's mama. That's the moral of the story. That's the moral of the story.
It's very, very true.
But so throughout the night, as far as kind of the pace and the patterns of the taping, they started off with a match and then they, you know, go into an interview or a promo, match and promo. So it became a little cyclical. And as a fan, it is very different than, say, if you go to a WWE event or just an independent promotion where there's more of a steady flow. You know, this one is structured for TV. So it really is also for a fan base that knows that, one, you're going to get fairly short matches. Two, things are going to be a little bit out of context as far as, you know, the continuity of stories. You know, you'll be able to see some things, but it's not going to feel the same as if, you know, what you see on TV or if you're at a live event that just has a different flow. But also, I think that translates into what we see on TV, and which is why I'm very interested in seeing the first, I believe they taped about 3 weeks of programming, how that translates from that live audience. And you could tell from the audience, it was hardcore fans. These were real NWA fans, real wrestling fans, that were dedicated to being a part of the studio audience. And there was people who were regulars, because as I was kind of typing my thoughts and ideas, there was a lot of people I just did not know. I really didn't. I knew more of the bigger names there. You know, Nick Aldis, Tim Storm, Allison Kay, Eli Drake, Colt Cabana. You know, these were people who were advertised, people that I was familiar with, but there was also a variety of people on the show that I wasn't familiar with. But it also got me excited, because I think it's going to be an interesting way to bring people and elevate them on this platform. Greg, what are your thoughts as far as, like, what are things that the NWA can do to find that perfect balance between supporting existing stars, helping elevate their careers, but also elevating new talent, which is a complaint that you get, people that just have a lot, no matter what, I guess, except if you're AEW, but, you know, we'll still see.
That's
on
coming,
that.
I'm sure.
But especially with WWE, how do you find that balance of, you know, elevating stars, the current stars, but bringing up new stars?
It is, you got to strike that balance, because you need to have the people that folks know. But they can't be around forever, and so you've got. I mean, Tim Storm's old, like he's you know, doing it at an advanced age, and he's doing a great job, but like he can't do this for a long time. Aldis doesn't even want to wrestle that long, like he's talked about that. He only wants to wrestle like 10 matches a year, and he really is trying to slow that down. Where you've got to transition and put over some of the younger guys and give them an opportunity to shine. Which is tough, because I don't know, you've got to draw a big enough audience to do that. And I think that it's interesting. It's going to be weird now, because the hard camera was, if you're working the hard cam, you're working zero fans in the setup that they had there, which I think is kind of strange. But you've just got to strike that balance, and you've got to give an opportunity for the younger stars to shine and a chance to put them over. They have on their roster, and I don't know how their contracts work, if they're exclusive or not. I doubt they are. And you saw them, and maybe you saw them for the first time. I don't know. But one of the most talented wrestlers in the world, and I have no idea why this person is not in WWE. I have no idea why he's not in Ring of Honor, AEW, Impact, wherever. I don't know. I have no clue. But if I were them, I am doing everything in my power to do something with Ricky Starks. Ricky Starks is one of the most talented wrestlers in the entire world. He recently had a trip to Japan. I booked him before. Like, when I ran PHX Wrestling, he was in the first main event against Alexander Hammerstone. Like, that was a big match I put on there. Really the first kind of main event for both guys. And he was an unknown in Arizona. We pushed him in a way that people would figure out who he was. But dude is ready for prime time. I don't know why he's not there. Hopefully it's not an attitude thing, as I've heard that, but I didn't experience that. Everything I experienced was great for him. But he is the kind of guy that you push on and focus with. I think James Storm is a really good in-between guy. Like he's not quite a Tim Storm in terms of age, but has that, you know, he's a former world heavyweight champion, has that name value. I think he's a guy that could be even above the National Heavyweight Championship that he has now. So, and I know he's running that program still with Colt Cabana. Colt Cabana's another one. But you've got to use some of those guys to transition to them, then transition to the younger talent, or this just doesn't last very long. And that's what, to me, that's, you just got to be systemic about it and give those guys opportunity to shine and give them something meaningful to do so that people have a reason to care. Otherwise, if you're only giving that reason to care to the established and older guys, you don't create anything new.
And I would say that I did see glimpses of that throughout the taping. Ricky Starks was there my first time watching him, and he's a phenomenal talent. A lot of charisma, able to work well in the ring, and it does seem like they are going to do some things with him. One element I also did like, and this is from my perspective, someone who's very big more on the drama and the promo side, is that they did allow the wrestlers to shoot a promo and more of an interview, but a traditional promo, not, you know, here's my selfie stick camera type of promo that WWE did for a while, which I'm glad they're not doing as much anymore. But you allow the wrestlers to talk, and it also did not seem like anything was too rehearsed. You know, you were able to get just kind of the natural reactions of people, and you were able to really see, you know, just wrestlers do what they did well, talk. James Storm, phenomenal promos as far as just, you know, this, you know, beer chugging, you know, church going, ass kicking, badass, you know, like I just had forgotten how tough this guy truly is, and just a fantastic character. And they allowed him to do those types of promos that just, you know, it really helped elevate my opinion of him. And I'm sure it will come across in the taping. So it is something that I was really excited for and something that I'd appreciated. And also with the structure of just, you know, their time frame too, you do have to have that, because their matches, you know, at least the ones that were recorded, were fairly short. So you need some of that continuity as far as the talking to happen. But it also is the reminder that you need the talking to happen. You can't just have it all in wrestling. You need some context to it. So I kind of like that traditional setup of interview and promo. I'm not sure if you're a big fan of that as well.
Wild card, bitches!
I'm going to make a suggestion for a future edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show. I think what we need to do, and maybe I can pick which one, for the first time ever, and I don't know if we figure out the technology, we need to do a watch-along on your show. Ooh, yeah. And we need to do a watch-along of an old... before WCW was a brand, WCW was a TV show. World Championship Wrestling was the name of the show, like NWA Power is the name of the show the NWA is putting on. And that was the name of the show that the NWA did out of the old Techwood Drive Studios in Atlanta, Georgia, probably in front of like 40 people, 20 on one side, 20 on another. They kind of did an L-shaped thing. And I think we should watch one, and you'll see the similarities between what you're describing and what they did back then, and because you've pretty much described it exactly. Like it's like they watched an old episode. But I get the sense you haven't watched one, and so I think it would be fun to sit down, and so don't like cheat and go watch one now. Like, you gotta wait until we actually do this. It's for the, you know, see it live for the first time. Of course, the commercials are cut out. It's a network, so one episode can be short enough to do during an edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show. And just to kind of get that reaction and see kind of what this is based off of, and see what it was. And I think it'll be fun. I think you'll enjoy it. I think you'll like it and probably end up watching a lot more of it. But I binge watched some a few months ago, and it's just crazy fun to watch. And I think it could be a really good experiment to have the people listen to you seeing that for the first time.
That sounds like a fun idea, absolutely, because, I think it's a good opportunity to watch it, to provide the kind of long or real live commentary on it, or just our kind of thoughts and perspectives, you know, maybe like a Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, people wouldn't be able to hear it because you get in trouble for that, but we could, although we turned up for certain things, and describe people what's going on. But it'll be fun to see it and we could watch it and then talk about it after the fact. But for something like this, I think it's good to actually get that real time reaction. And I'm not a fan of watch alongs. Like, I don't even like to listen to watch alongs, probably because I'm not watching. I'm usually driving, so it doesn't make sense. But for this one, I think it does make sense. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
I totally agree. We will figure out the technology. We can totally figure out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if behind that tablet you're on is a TV or not, but basically that's the key. We need to have a way for you to watch it. That's all.
I can make it work. It's a tablet. I can move it to my TV or another laptop or something.
We'll figure it all out. But I think it's worth the effort, and I think it'll be a lot of fun, and Patrick will be really mad that he wasn't part of it, but that's fine. He can.
Oh, I know. I just realized I didn't send Patrick that picture, and I should have, as far as the setup, because I'd
but you
be
posted
very interested
it
in getting
on social media. So I'm sure he's seen it.
Yes. Well, I only put it on Instagram, so
posted it on Facebook.
Did I?
From the taping, yeah.
I don't remember what I posted it on. It's been a long few days, yo.
It's okay. But, it's totally fine.
But, you know, yes, it is on social media, so that's why you should follow me on social media if you'd like to see what we've been talking about over the past, you know, X amount of minutes, because I'm very interested in getting everyone else's opinion as well about, you know, what are your views on the pictures. And there's some out there as well, I'm sure, more people and those who were at tonight's taping, what they witnessed, what they saw. Again, there are spoilers out there online if you are interested in them. I am just not going to reveal them myself because I want everyone to, you know, have a little bit of element of surprise. And I definitely feel like I am rooting a bit for the NWA in this one, because it is a one, it is a different way of distribution of this show. It's a mix of two different things, actually. You have kind of a modern way of distributing and sharing this show with an old school feel and setup. So bringing the old with the new, bringing it together. Same thing with talent, bringing some established stars, hopefully some newer stars, and helping elevate some new blood into professional wrestling. And, you know, also to kind of see where this goes now with the wrestling landscaping changing so much, so many, you know, opportunities out there, but also it's a saturated market. You have wrestling now almost every single day of the week, Monday through Friday, including the weekends too. Now, even your pay-per-views between AEW and WWE, you have Saturdays and Sundays. So it is a much more competitive market. But going back to what we talked about earlier, maybe that feel of nostalgia can be the niche that NWA needs in order to find kind of its place in the market, where it can be different than everybody else because it has history and nostalgia that can bring people in. And I just got that sense overall from the taping. Overall, it was just a fun experience to be part of a live audience, you know, to be able to interact with other wrestling fans. Lots of crowd chants, and even in a small space, I loved that element, because you can really hear other wrestling fans, even the kind of their sparky comments but there was a lot of funny things that happened, as far as, you know, funny jokes, funny chants. You know, again, trying not to spoil too many things, but there was a stab 'em chant that came up that I was a huge fan of, that, you know, I hope it makes TV, because yeah, that's the new chant. Stab 'em, stab 'em.
I hope it makes TV too. I do. You know what's interesting? There's another venue that's really cool for wrestling, and that's the Sun Studios of Arizona, which are in Tempe, Arizona, which you talked about earlier. And you know, there's another event coming there on October 25th, an event that you will be there for, an event that I will be there for, otherwise it'd be in a lot of trouble. A little thing called Impact Zone Wrestling. IZW Proving Ground is back on October 25th. At the Sun Studios of Arizona. You can get your tickets today at IZWWrestling.com. IZW was around for over a decade, from 2000 to 2010, went away, and now it's back, and we're so excited to present it to everybody after an almost 10-year absence. Of course, we talked on this show about the IZW reunion that took place back in May. Now it's actually back as a promotion, and we've got a lot of fun and exciting matches people can check out. If you're local, you'll understand names like Cowboy Jack Durango and Watson, who will go one-on-one on the show, along with R3 versus the Navajo Warrior, and a match that a lot of people are excited about. The Hawaiian Lion goes one-on-one with Graves. Some people said we should take the ropes down for that one and let them go blood sport style. Look, slow down. It's only the first show. That's all I will say.
I mean, that could happen. They may just
slow down. They might just tear them off themselves. But We even have couch seats. We literally have, like, I think there's like one couch seat available now. So it's just,
and that's, you know, the cushy seats. That's the one cushy thing. Seats. Like, with the setup at NWA, they had some, you know, more comfortable seats than just a steel chair. And mm-hmm. that was like 3 hours of sitting down. So if you don't want to be sitting in a steel chair for 3 hours, get yourself that last couch seat.
Get yourself that couch seat. And also, the couch seats are the seats that are closest to Greg DeMarco and Miranda Morales, who will be working on the show. But don't talk to us during the show. We're going to be busy. But you can talk to us before or after the show.
We're busy.
That's totally fine.
We got things to do. Yeah. We got a show to run. But yeah. I mean, speaking of nostalgia, I mean, that was one of the reasons why IZW came about now in kind of more of a regular session, right? There was the reunion show that happened in May, and it had such a fantastic response from both wrestlers and fans that I think it was just hard to deny, you know, giving it the good old college try.
We tried to deny. Didn't work. So now it's back. But I'm excited about it, and I hope you guys are excited about it. Give it a shot. Tickets are not expensive. IZWWrestling.com.
And talking about old and new, I mean, Proving Grounds is going to be an event where you're mixing kind of the old IZW with some new fresh blood. So
we gotta NWA, see, you know,
take notes.
That's right. You asked how you focus on the new talent. There you go. It's going to be interesting to see because IZW was the training ground for so many stars. Then when it went away, others had to come in and take up that mantle. And now we're going to see how they did when the IZW trained stars go up against the others. So it's going to be the established guard versus the rising stars of today. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of good action. You will have a good time. I personally guarantee it.
Pretty much. But,
yeah.
You know, no refunds, though.
That means nothing. Yeah, tickets are not refundable. But I guarantee it, with tickets are not refundable. You will have fun. But it's worth it. Support indie wrestling.
Yes. But, again, going to that NWA taping was an awesome experience, something off of my bucket list that I'm really happy I got the experience to go to. And now with the show starting to air next week, on Tuesday the 8th, October 8th, I'm going to be really interested in following up with it, seeing that. And who knows, maybe I will become an NWA fan, an NWA aficionado. Who knows?
You never know.
It's a pretty exciting chapter for them, and also in professional wrestling. And then, I mean, I got some swag. I got myself a nifty little, and of course I don't have it with me to show you, NWA nifty pin and an NWA t-shirt because, you know,
I went to
an NWA taping and all I got was this lousy t-shirt.
Does it say that on it?
No, but it should, I guess.
But since you told that joke...
I don't repeat the same lame joke twice.
You did earlier.
Lame jokes coming into circulation.
You did earlier. You said you wrote twice earlier.
No. But, you know, I'm going to recommend it. I hope everyone checks it out. It's going to be on YouTube, on Facebook. And, maybe one day Greg DeMarco and I are going to do a watch-along of some old NWA shows and educate me. And we're going to have to get Patrick involved in one of them. I just feel so wrong to not get him involved.
He'll be all right. He'll live. You know, talking about podcasts that people aren't involved with, this Friday morning, people can go over to thechairshot.com and listen to the first ever edition of Wednesday Night Wars, where Brittany Nicole, everybody knows Brittany Nicole, she's been on all these shows. She has finally gotten her own show. She's been trying to get one. She finally got her own show. She's a co-host. I don't know who he is. I've never heard of him. He's kind of a jerk. It's me. We will be hosting Wednesday Night Wars, where we talk about AEW and NXT as they go head-to-head. We'll pick who we thought did better. We'll talk about the ratings. We'll talk about what the shows are presenting and follow along this historic period in professional wrestling. And you never know who might drop by on a show like that. Miranda.
It's me.
Yes.
Me. I may drop in.
You might.
Depending on my availability and scheduling.
Yeah, you never know. It's fine.
Yeah, but also because I love Brittany Nicole. She's a fantastic ring announcer herself out of the New Orleans area. She's beautiful. She's smart. She's confident. She's talented. you know, she's at It's Brittany Nicole on social media, so go follow her. No, not
at Look It's Brittany.
At Look It's Brittany.
B-R-I-T-T-A-N-I. At Look It's Brittany. All of her social media is now at Look It's Brittany, thanks to somebody who made her do it.
Yes. Continuity.
That somebody might also be on social media at Chairshot Greg on all forms of social media.
But yes, congratulations on the new show, Greg and Brittany. I mean, it's a big time in professional wrestling.
Yes.
We do now have a proper war. Battle lines have been drawn. Apparently, people are taking sides, and this tomorrow's the night.
Tomorrow's
the night that some people have been waiting for 4 years. Put up or shut up time. So, if you were interested in getting your weekly breakdown of NXT versus AEW, you can listen to the Wednesday Night Wars podcast, available on Friday mornings, hosted by Greg DeMarco and Brittany Nicole.
Oh, she'd get mad. Hosted by Brittany Nicole and Greg DeMarco.
Oh, yes. Brittany Nicole and Greg DeMarco.
Mildly featured. Show is part of the Chairshot Radio Network, which you can hear where, Miranda?
On thechairshot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Did you know that's Chris Platt and Chris Platt's girlfriend?
No.
Yes, Amber.
I knew it was Chris Platt, but not his girlfriend.
Amber is the voice of the female soundbite that... I think I was on with them one time doing something, and Amber was there, and we jokingly were like, let's get Amber to do, and she did it, and then we edited it together.
It's a great soundbite.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's very good
Fantastic soundbites. So we have reached the end of another edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show. Thank you so much for all of you for listening to my adventures in Atlanta. But I'm back on the West Coast. West Coast is the best coast. It's always nice to visit. It's nice to get a little Southern hospitality. Everyone there was lovely, was wonderful. Thank you to the DDP Performance Center for allowing me to take a class. It was an awesome experience. NWA, awesome experience. It's a good time to be a wrestling fan. That's all I can say. I'm riding on cloud nine, having a great time. And there really is no vacation away from wrestling. That's also another point.
Nope.
I took a family vacation and decided, how am I going to incorporate wrestling into this? And I did. So anytime you have those opportunities, do that, especially to support your local wrestling promotions. I can't say it enough. Go visit your local wrestling promotions. You never know who you're going to see. You can find some of the most talented athletes in the entire U.S., visit them, meet with them before they get big, rich, and famous and whatnot. But also, you can find a lot of just fantastic wrestling storylines, people at your local wrestling promotions, such as the ones that we mentioned during this podcast. But if you don't have one near you, make a trip out of it. Take a family vacation and try to convince your family to also go to wrestling. That's a lot harder than it sounds.
It is, trust. Yeah. Definitely is. Like, I could never
totally
do it.
It is totally worth it.
Totally. All right. Are we good? I can't end your show. You have to end your show. Like, it's
yes, no. I'm ending the show. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Have a good night. Peace out.
Follow Miranda at the hashtag Miranda on the Instagram and the Facebook, and soon to be the Twitter.